I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana. Thanks for joining us for the podcast today, brought to you by Blackfoot Communications.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Great deal of discussion, great deal of talk. Everybody wanted to address, and there was a need to address, the high cost of housing in Montana. That's kind of combined with some property taxes as well. We saw a budget surplus, and a lot of that was refunded. But with all that talk about addressing this, the high cost of housing and property taxes, just 2 weeks left. Has something been done? Yes. Has it been effective? Is it in the right direction? We're going to talk about that in more detail today. Kelly Lynch heads up the Montana League of Cities and Towns. She'll be joined by Daryl James, Executive Director of the Montana Infrastructure Coalition, and we'll take a look at the work of this legislature from their perspective today on Voices of Montana. Thanks again for being here. Kelly Lynch will join us. Well, in fact, let's just get right to it, because I think there's a lot of things to check out here. You know, in the opening, you look at those people who are affected by our property tax relief or our housing relief, and you wonder, you know, did they get the relief that was necessary? And of course, a lot of discussion too about how Montana's communities, cities, and towns have played a part in this as well. So I'm looking forward to this. Let's welcome our guest. Kelly Lynch is the executive director of the Montana League of Cities and Towns, 20 years plus experience as an attorney, local government advocate, and a friend. Good morning, Kelly. How are you?
Good morning, Tom. I'm great. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. Appreciate you being here. Daryl James, we got Daryl James on the radio too. You know, Daryl, executive director of the Montana Infrastructure Coalition. I'm going to just tease you right now, Daryl, because I think I've tried like about six to seven times, and one time you were just like in Mexico, dude, and you were even going to call me from Mexico. Remember that? You were going
to
call.
Couldn't find time to get out of the sun and make that call. Yeah. My apologies.
Yeah. No, that's great. I appreciate that. Kelly, let's start. And it's just wide open here, discussion. A lot of bills, a lot of them had thumbs up. Some of them had troubles, amendments. Some of them got thumbs down. What's your general assessment? And we're going to parse this out a little bit, but what's the big thing, as your executive director of the League of Cities and Towns, what's the big thing that your constituents want you to address?
Yeah, so, I mean, we got up here in January, and we started hearing a lot about, you know, local property taxes, and that legislators were knocking on doors in the fall, and that's what they heard about, that folks were worried about their property taxes going up. And so we thought this might be a good opportunity to kind of talk through how property taxes work, because I think there's a lot of misunderstanding, and I mean, even among those of us who understand it, about how complex property tax is in Montana and really how it comes, where it comes from, what it pays for, and how it compares to what pays for the state's revenues and where that comes, what that pays for.
Okay, well, we'll do that. But first things first. I mean, is there something that we can refer to when you know, were there changes? What's your general assessment of some of the major bills and how they might affect our housing?
Yeah. So if you want to talk about, well, I mean, there's been tons of different aspects of the housing.
Yeah.
Discussion, right? And one of the things that I've been the most involved in is the issue of zoning and land use and how that impacts housing costs, if at all. And this has been a discussion that's been happening nationally. I have a master's in urban planning and am a certified planner. So this is something that's really near and dear to my heart.
Yeah, that's from UCLA, by the way. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that's from UCLA, by the way, people.
I went from East Helena to UCLA.
Yeah.
It was kind of a change.
I bet it was.
So the planners, we've been talking about this stuff for a really long time, and how our very antiquated land use and planning systems from the 1920s really don't work anymore. I mean, they still even use words like morals and air and light. And so we really wanted to kind of start to think about how Montana could update its land use and planning statutes. That, of course, takes a while, right? Even if we get to the point where we've passed a bill, which it looks like we have, and that's SB 382, that changes the whole statutory framework, it's still going to take a while for our local governments to implement that. And so there's also been at the same time a discussion about, okay, should we force cities and counties to start making some of these changes right away? And whether or not we're talking about allowing duplexes on lots with single family homes, allowing accessory dwelling units, which are usually called like granny units, backyard units, on every lot that's zoned for a single family home, allowing multifamily units, so apartment buildings, five plexes, six plexes, in areas that allow for commercial uses. Those are the discussions that we're having about forcing that basically on every community in Montana immediately in order to address the housing crisis. And I think from the league's perspective, we have kind of come at it with the idea that, look, we acknowledge that zoning reform is necessary, but it is only one piece in a whole bunch of really complex tools and actions that need to be taken in order to address the enormous jump in housing prices in Montana.
Daryl James, with Executive Director of the Montana Infrastructure Coalition, also has a private consulting firm as well, and that's been going since 2012. And then I'll tease you again, the president of the Helena Area Youth Hockey Association. I think one time I tried to get you on, Daryl, and you were at a hockey tournament, too. And I think you tried to call in. You're a good sport.
I did. That's
yeah.
Exactly right.
Yeah, good job. What's your perspective on the beginning of this discussion here?
You know, Tom, I'd almost like to kind of pull us back out a little bit and chat about the problem that we're trying to solve. And I think there may be a broad disagreement just on what the problem is. So, you know, if you think back to this last summer, there was a lot of, there was a campaign going on on a constitutional initiative to look at property taxes. And I think we need to understand as a state where we really sit with regard to our property tax burden, our income tax burden, just kind of our overall tax burden in Montana and how that compares to neighboring states or national averages so that we can understand whether we do have a problem, A, and then what we do to fix that. Because, I mean, there have been a record number of bills this session. There have been a handful of bills that really try to surgically attack what individual legislators perceive to be the problem. Mm-hmm. But I think we really need, as a state, to kind of back up a little bit and figure out where we really sit. You know, if you look at our tax burden compared to neighboring states, our property taxes are very similar to Wyoming, North and South Dakota, Idaho. The only difference is most of those states have a three-tiered system. They have income tax, they have property tax, and they have a statewide sales tax. Where they don't have a sales tax or where they don't have an individual income tax, they have enormous revenues in severance taxes. It's resource development money. In Montana, our resource development revenues are declining, and it's putting more pressure on both individual income tax and property taxes. So that's part of the problem that we're seeing in Montana is we don't have a diverse tax base, and we need to start talking about that. And we're seeing a decline in resource revenues that we've relied on for decades. I mean, the Treasure State has relied on those resources, and we're just not developing those as much.
Well, and that's been I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Tom, that, you know, if you look at trends since 1980, and we've done a whole lot of independent research, but for your listeners, anybody can go out and take a look at this Montana Department of Revenue biennial report. And the data that comes out of that report shows from 1980 to 2020, the property tax burden in Montana has actually declined as a percentage of GDP in Montana. Income tax has increased dramatically in that same time period. Nobody's talking about their income tax. Everybody's complaining about property tax. So it's kind of interesting that the perception from Montana residents is, you know, this is the mantra. Local government spending is out of control. My property taxes are climbing through the roof. But when you look at it on a broader economic scale, that it just doesn't pan out. Not that we don't need to address that.
Yeah.
But we need to understand what the real dynamics are and what's causing that.
Well, and I appreciate that an awful lot. But, you know, when you talk about that three-tier tax system, that's, like you say, it's a larger discussion and it's a difficult discussion because, yes, we are losing a leg. And Lou Jones, Representative Lou Jones, who's probably the most, I don't know if I put it that way, but he's well-informed when it comes to Montana's finances and tax system. And he has... we lost Kelly there, it looks like, for a minute. She may call back, Daryl. He has noted, and it's hard to say it, but, you know, our three-legged system is not working anymore. So that's part of this larger issue we're looking at. Do you think this pushes that ball forward a little bit? Because what we're talking about are sales taxes, and nobody really likes to talk about that. And that's not really where I wanted to go. I kind of want to, when Kelly gets back here, I want to have her discuss, you know, where our property taxes have evolved, so to speak. But what's your sense, Daryl, on that discussion regarding a statewide sales tax? Would that even really be a good thing for Montana? Give or take whether the people voted in or not. I know, again, this whole discussion, I'm talking too long here, but it goes back to the Wayfarer decision to, you know, going forward, we're going to have to really consider some changes. Is that discussion taking hold in any earnest sort of way?
You know, Tom, we've been kind of tracking that whole conversation for the last 10 years or so.
Yeah.
And, you know, nobody really wants to talk about sales taxes, but when you think about whether you could apply a sales tax in Montana to buy down property taxes or income taxes, people start showing some interest in it. And again, I've talked to you about this before, but when you think about 12 million visitors to the state of Montana, mm-hmm. that pay for none of their impact on our emergency services, our water sewer systems, our transportation system, it's insanity to me that we don't ask for some kind of a user fee from those kinds of visitors.
Yeah, and so I think that
if you had a narrowly formed sales tax that picked up those tourism dollars, that makes a heck of a lot of sense to buy down some of our property tax burden.
Yeah. And so, I hate to say it too, but I think a lot of people will agree with you behind closed doors.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. But it's, you know, the key is it's going to have to buy down some of that tax burden. And if Kelly's not on yet, I'll kind of jump into her arena here with local property taxes. But if you think about how we fund local governments,
Kelly's back, by the way.
Here,
let's take a break because I do want to get into that. You know, it doesn't have to be a sales tax discussion, but Kelly, thank you for being here too, and welcome back. I'm going to have you come on back and address how, as we had talked just briefly the other day, property taxes have evolved a little bit. So to get a full understanding of what those really mean nowadays, as you noted at the early part of the program too, that's something we should do. So let's come back and take a look at it, what our property taxes are, because as Daryl James had said with the Montana Infrastructure Coalition, we need to know what the problem is we're trying to solve. Daryl with us, Kelly Lynch as well, Montana League of Cities and Towns. It's From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
It's From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. As we look at some of the work that's being done from a couple of perspectives, one is Daryl James, Executive Director of the Montana Infrastructure Coalition. That's since 2016. And also Kelly Lynch, Executive Director of the Montana Leagues of Cities and Towns. That's an organization that's been around since 1931. And a good one at that. Thank you both for being here. And I think that both those organizations are very important in Montana. Kelly, I want to have you discuss then, as you noted at the top of the hour, what are property taxes nowadays?
Yeah, so we were kind of going through the different legs of the stool for Montana. And I think it's important for people to realize income and sales tax. I mean, we do have a little bit of sales tax on lodging, the bed tax, rental car sales, and rents. Those all go to the state of Montana for their services. local governments rely almost entirely on property taxes, as do our schools. And it's about 60% of all property taxes go to schools, about 40% goes to local governments, and between that it's about 25 to 30% go to counties, and about 15 to 10% go to the cities. So if you're talking about local governments, you know, that are increasing property taxes, we're really talking about a kind of a small percentage of that property tax pie. But I think it's important, too, to realize and talk about how property taxes are set in Montana, because that is something I don't think people understand. You know, everyone's worried Yellowstone's coming in and everyone's moving to the state of Montana. They've got a lot of money. They're driving up property tax prices, or excuse me, property values. And that's not how property taxes are set by local governments. We take our taxes assessed from the previous year, and the state currently limits us to only increasing that by half the rate of inflation over the previous 3 years average. So we don't even keep up with inflation, with the mills that we can impose. And then we take, the state sets the tax rate on residential property, which is 1.35 for residential. And then you times that by the market value. So if your market value goes up, that amount goes higher. If your market value goes down, that amount goes down. But we can only raise the number of mills necessary to get to that previous year's taxes assessed plus half the rate of inflation. So if our values go up in a community, the mill values will go down. So you'll get less mills against you because each mill is worth more money. Now, is that about as clear as mud?
Well, and, you know, the eyes roll over when you start talking about mills and percentages and market values. I get that. So that's part of the problem here as well. What else? I mean, one of the things that I think that what becomes property taxes then? Are we there's discussion regarding some ag land. There's bills out there to tax that at a higher rate if it's not ag land, so to speak. Or, you know, are you seeing things lumped into property taxes that don't belong in property taxes?
Absolutely. Yeah, we talked about this a little bit. So Daryl and I have been keeping track, mostly Daryl, but I'll try and take some credit for
you
it.
You are vice president of his...
he always does.
Yeah, right.
And we've gone through and kind of listed just in this session how many bills have come in and proposed credits, rebates, reductions on taxes in the other classes of property. Montana has 14, right, Daryl? 14 classes of property?
Correct.
And class 4 residential, class 4 is residential and commercial, but class 4 residential is just one of those. And so when you reduce the rates in a different area, because local property taxes are set at that, what we taxed the last year, it's going to shift more of the burden onto those other classes of property. So I don't know, Daryl, do you have that information? I can't remember how many.
Even within, I think there were upwards of 30 bills that provide some kind of property tax abatement. But a lot of those were even focused on residential property taxes. So you think about providing a tax abatement for our elderly or low income or disabled veterans. That's all great policy, but it still results in a tax shift. So if they're not paying that tax, another residential property taxpayer has to pick up that burden. Again, it's good policy, but as I talked about earlier, when we talk about growth in property taxes, Kelly just explained that the natural growth in property tax revenue is half the rate of inflation. So the only new growth or the only increase in the property tax burden on that individual taxpayer comes from newly taxable, which is new growth in the community, tax shifts that we just talked about, and then voted levies. And that's when it gets a little sticky, when property taxpayers start complaining to their legislators and saying, oh my gosh, my local government is out of control, my property taxes are going through the roof. They need to understand that dynamic. And every time they vote for a school bond, every time they vote for an open space bond, every time they vote for an emergency services bond that helps build the detention center or pay for an increased police force, that all results in a direct increase in their property taxes, but there's somehow a disconnect between that voted levy And that actual impact on their tax bill.
Well, and it's also a catch-22 because cities are spending for their particular needs, where sometimes they look to the state for that kind of funding, and so they maybe get stuck in between a rock and a hard place at times. But that is a very important topic to discuss here, as noted earlier, Daryl. You know, what's the problem we're trying to solve? Is the shift in property tax a big part of that problem? Are the voted levies a part of that problem? Also spending, I know that the Frontier Institute had done some research on the growth in spending versus the rate of population growth plus inflation, and that seems to be helpful to indicate that our cities are spending over their means to a certain degree. But what's hurting are our people whose property taxes are rising past what they can afford. It's gentrification in some areas too, and I know it's something serious to talk about. I'm sorry, I've done all the talking here. I got to take a break, and we'll come on back and explore that. Kelly Lynch and Daryl James with us.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
All right, right back into the discussion here. Property taxes, also housing, and we'll get to other issues too, like local control. I mean, that's been one thing I think as executive director of the Montana League of Cities and Towns would be very concerned over. Kelly Lynch is with us here as executive director there. Also, Daryl James. He's the ED of the Montana Infrastructure Coalition. Kelly, we got like about 3.5 minutes here in this segment. Just respond to, and I know you wanted to talk about perhaps this Frontier Institute. I noted some of those figures. We had talked about it earlier. The gist of it is it tends to show and it wants to show that our cities are spending beyond their means. Is that true?
So that would be your description of what it is. Uh-huh. I mean, first of all, I would say this isn't a study. This is a blog, and it's someone who has taken the budgets from our largest communities in Montana and shown that the budgets are growing over time. The budget is not what taxpayers are necessarily paying for. The budget includes a whole bunch of stuff that isn't related to property tax, including huge amounts of ARPA funds that came in the last couple of years into our communities that actually offset a whole bunch of what the taxpayers would normally have paid for. So I think it's not accurate to say that budgets exceed population growth, because budgets overall are not a reflection of property tax collections and expenditures. No. So I think it's important to point out that property taxes pay generally, that's the general fund, that pays for police and fire services, a little bit of admin costs. That is generally what that pays for. When you have these other amounts coming in, assessments that get paid, fees that get paid, all of that gets included in our budget.
Daryl, do you want to comment?
You know, I was just going to take us back to that biennial report, Tom, because I think that's it paints a really clear picture on what state and local government spending actually looks like. If you look at the last 20 years, there's only been two areas of real growth. If you look at public school spending from 2000 to 2020, that's gone from 26% down to 22%. If you look at higher education spending, that's gone from 10.5% down to 9%. You look at, what do we have here? Transportation spending, 12% down to a little under, 11, housing environment, 8.5% down to 7.5%. As Kelly mentioned, administrative costs have remained pretty flat. Interest on debt has gone from 4% to 2%. The only areas of growth, health and human services have gone from 20% to nearly 30%. Mm-hmm. And what else do we have here? Public safety has gone from 7% to about 8%. So local government spending is not out of control. It's, you know, you look at health and human services, most of that's at the state level. Kelly can explain what's done at the city-county level. But there is nothing to indicate in these growth trends or these spending trends that local government spending is out of whack, out of control, or any different from neighboring states. So again, it's one of those myths that we need to kind of to put to rest and really look at objective analysis of what's going on. And the Frontier Institute's, as Kelly said, it's more of a blog. It's not a scientific analysis.
All right, stand by. This is what we'll do. We'll come back and pick out some of these bills, and are they good or not? Kelly Lynch, Daryl James with us on Voices.
Continues right after this.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Welcome back, and I hope you're doing well. It is 866-627-5483 or 781-627-5483. That first, if you have a question, you got a text message, that's 781-627-5483. We're talking about, mostly it's property tax relief and what goes into property taxes. I think it's trying to understand this problem that the legislature is trying to solve when it comes to rising property tax rates that may force especially some seniors out of their homes, or it kind of makes it prohibitive for young people to get into the market as well. It's not only property taxes. We're talking housing too. Daryl James, Executive Director of the Montana Infrastructure Coalition, a special guest, and Kelly Lynch too, who's Executive Director of the Montana League of Cities and Towns. So let's just, there have been a number of bills, and it's going to be hard to kind of pick them out and say, what do you think of this one or that one? There were some that were more comprehensive. There were some that you noted, Kelly, and Daryl, I think might have the same thing where they were kind of targeted by individual legislators. Is there anything you like, Kelly? Let's just skip all the numbers and go to things that the legislature is doing that you think will help with the situation, or bills that they're going to do anyway that you don't think are going to help with the situation.
Specifically with property taxes or housing costs?
Same thing. It's almost the same thing to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I agree with you. So actually, yeah, we spent probably the last 4 years working with a group of pretty much every interested party in development. So the realtors, the surveyors, the counties, the cities, working to come up with basically a new framework for land use planning and permitting in Montana. It's SB 382. It's almost through the process now. The Senate has to approve amendments from the House, and then it's on to the governor's desk. And it creates the Montana Land Use Act, which will essentially change the whole process by putting all of the public comment and discussion and input up front into what we now call the growth policy, what will be called the land use plan process. You'll look at everything from what are your housing needs to what are the impacts of development in all these areas, how much will it cost to extend infrastructure to those areas we want to put certain densities in. Once the community makes those decisions, then we really just move to an administrative process for permitting development that's in line with those goals. And you won't have to go through the process of public hearing after public hearing to discuss different criteria and different reasons. And they have to continually update this plan so the facts don't get stale. But it really will basically streamline the process in Montana. Our current statutes are from the 1920s. They're super outdated and antiquated. Of course, they take a long time for developers to slog through, and it's really duplicative. So we have really fixed that with SB 382, and I want to give a big shout-out to Senator Forrest Mandeville for carrying that bill.
Yeah, yeah. Land use planner himself out of the Columbus area, Senate District 29, a Republican. But he's been a long time on this issue as well. And this this bill brought forward, brought forward as I saw him presented as well with a lot of good work on it. Right now where it sits, it's been it originated in the Senate bill, so it's been returned to the Senate with House amendments. But the House did favor that bill 95-5. Daryl James, same question for you. What do you like that they are doing? What do you not like that they're doing anyway? What are they not doing that they should be doing?
Tom, I think I'd keep this pretty general and just say, you know, I think that the rebates that the governor asked for, both income and property tax rebates, those are moving through, and I think that's good policy. I think it's important to send a message to Montana taxpayers that, you know, that the administration and the legislature are listening. They understand the problem out there. I think the tax abatement bills, even though they result in a bit of a tax shift, I think those are good policy and protect some of the most vulnerable taxpayers in our communities. Those are important measures, and they will go a long ways. You know, the failing is what we really need is comprehensive tax reform, and it's I think it's going to take the entire interim to really start trying to pull all these little levers and strings and figure out what works and what doesn't work. The threat is that if we don't do something meaningful this session, we've got, you know, a looming threat out there of another constitutional initiative. And putting complex tax policy in a very inflexible constitution is the wrong way to go. We need to make sure that we do something in statute. There's a couple of bills still out there that that look at putting some kind of a cap on property tax growth. And frankly, I think maybe that's what it takes, Tom, is to inflict a little bit of pain on the taxpayer and say, look, if you think you want to prioritize parks and recreational trails, something else is going to hurt in your community.
Yeah.
And you know, from my perspective, we need to make sure that we're providing investment in roads and bridges and water, sewer, and schools, so that, you know, that critical infrastructure first, and then you can move on to some of those amenities in the community. But it's maybe that's what's going to have to drive the conversation, Tom, is a little bit of pain in the community when they start losing services or losing infrastructure, to show that it's not overspending.
Yeah.
It's just that the cost of labor and materials is growing to the extent that it's putting that burden on the taxpayer.
Well, and that I appreciate too. I mean, except for the fact that we've just been printing money like crazy, and then instead of these little pains, I worry about a very, very serious pain from that kind of policy. Just a little bit on...
Tom, I could definitely... alleviate any concern you have. Our local governments in Montana do not print money.
Well, let me ask you this. If they could, would they? Never mind. If I could print money, I would too.
Not if they wanted to be reelected. Let's put it that way.
I don't know. The discussion about a sales tax has to happen. Like you say, Daryl, the pain... is apparent now. I think that there's a proposal out there. It's been where if we have a rebate for Montana full-time residents, I know you'd have to work that out and really craft that so that's, you know, chisel that in stone, so to speak, to how that works. But I think you're going to see more support for the state of Montana. And I'm glad that we don't like taxes around here. It's just,
yep, absolutely.
You know, I think that private spending is better than government spending in most circumstances. Kelly, I want to move over a little bit to Kelly Lynch is with us again, Executive Director of the Montana League's League of Cities and Towns, and then Daryl James, Executive Director of the Montana Infrastructure Coalition. You guys work hand in hand in a lot of projects across Montana, and I appreciate the collaboration. Kelly, local communities have pushed back against their autonomy. Everybody wants their autonomy. The legislature wants their autonomy. The executive branch wants theirs. The judicial, they have theirs and some of ours. And local communities want that autonomy as well. What's the status of that in general through this discussion for the 68th?
Yeah, great question. We have seen just an enormous push against local government autonomy. I feel just as confused about it to some extent as other people. We have so many different variety of local governments. You came to our conference last fall.
It was great.
And talked to some of those communities. I mean, they're like night and day. And I'm not just talking about between big and small.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have different issues. They have different concerns. People live in those communities for different reasons. And so I think we're constantly talking about how one size doesn't fit all. Now, I know that has completely fallen on deaf ears, but I guess I'm at a loss as how else to explain to people that local communities really need to be able to make decisions for themselves. Now, that's not to say that there aren't minorities on every topic under the planet,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
there's always going to be a minority position. But that is the way that our system works. And I think we have encouraged people. Here's a silly, crazy, good example. Chicken ordinances. You have not experienced a political debate and a fiery discussion until you have gone to a local government hearing on whether or not to allow or ban chickens.
Cody Ross, our in-studio engineer, spent a lot of time in Terry. I suppose that came. He's laughing his guts out because that's very true. I mean, that's the beauty of local governments too, isn't
right.
it?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. You know Tommy, and they might
go ahead, Darryl. Darryl, go ahead.
Just part of what you're seeing in this, what Kelly perceives to be an attack on local governments, and some of it has just been a full-on frontal assault, but. Mm-hmm. I think it really comes from the frustration. It's just a lack of understanding, right? We talked about that at the top of the show. There's just a general lack of understanding of property taxes. So this attack is about, gosh, I don't understand it. You must be doing something wrong. So let's take away this tool or take away this tool because that must be what's causing this increase in my property taxes. And I think that's part of what our challenge is over the next couple of years here is to really educate the voter on how property taxes work, where those revenues go, what they pay for, what the state pays for. It's going to be a big, long slog, but I think it's time to get out there in our communities and make sure the taxpayer understands the system itself. Because I don't blame them for being frustrated because it's a complex system. And, you know, Kelly, you know, how many people show up at a regular city meeting, particularly when we're talking about budgets?
No one, right?
Well, that's what we elect them to do. But right. if we do have, I mean, but we shouldn't just elect and sit back. We have to elect and be a part of the governance too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And this is what this legislature is. I mean, if anybody spends any time watching a hearing or watching a floor debate, there is no doubt that these are Montanans who are taking time out of. And some are maybe in a better position than others, but there's no doubt that these folks are just like you and I, trying to do good things for the state that they believe in. So I can appreciate that. Is there Kelly? What's left? I mean, we've got just a couple of minutes here, but we got a couple of weeks left. You know, from your perspective as executive director of the Leagues of Cities and Towns for Montana, what's left to accomplish in your eyes?
Yeah, and. I know, Tom, you get so frustrated with me because I always go back to what your last statement was.
It's okay.
I think it's important. You know, I appreciate that all the legislatures are up here doing a really good job, but they're under a very strict timeline. They've got 90 days, and their ability to reach out and make sure that the public knows what they're doing is extremely limited, and that's not their fault. That's just the way this is set up. I think that is one of the key reasons why local governments are so important. We have the ability to spend months and months and months on issues, you know, meeting after meeting after meeting that people can come to and talk to us and discuss how things should go before we make a decision like this. In this, cooker environment here, it's very difficult to make the right policy decisions that apply to everyone for the next 2 years without an ability to change that.
Yeah, that's why those interim committees and those studies are important. They get legislators, whether on opposite sides of the aisle, working together on solving problems. And I think a lot of this was part of a committee as well. Darryl, what do you see that's left to? And you know what? Maybe we'll have you back on too because there's still a lot to talk about when it comes to infrastructure. That in and of itself, there's a 2018 report about how far behind we are. What's your sense on that? I know they pushed some money. I've been on the whole St. Mary's thing. Now's the time to get that fixed. Both the Fed and the state of Montana looks to be at least addressing that to some degree. But what's your sense now on infrastructure?
You know, Tom, I think there's probably been a record amount of money pushed through some of our regular funding programs just out of the general fund. Those are grants for, you know, local water sewer projects, county road projects, those kinds of things. So applaud the legislature for using some of the surplus dollars to fund infrastructure in that manner. A lot of the revenue that's going through those programs, though, is vertical state-owned infrastructure. Mm. So that doesn't help in our local communities with aging water systems, transportation networks that are beat up by tourism that, again, doesn't pay a user fee for that. So we still have a long ways to go to make sure that we've got sustainable funding for infrastructure. And again, I'll say this again. We fund infrastructure in Montana through property taxes. So we know that we've got an incredible deficit in our investment in critical infrastructure. But it's hard to say that and then say, yeah, I know you're complaining about your property tax, but the only way we're going to improve your water system is to increase your property tax. The only way we're going to improve this county road is through your property tax. We need more tools in the toolbox.
Yeah.
So the last part of this legislative session, I think, is making sure that we can preserve the tools that we do have. And then really kickstarting that conversation about how do we really instigate overall tax reform that takes some of that burden off of a property taxpayer and get some revenue from the tourism in this state.
A couple of cogs in the wheel that keep it going. Daryl James, Executive Director of the Montana Infrastructure Coalition. It's mtinfrastructure.org. Kelly Lynch as well, who's with the Montana League of Cities and Towns, mtleague.org. Kelly and Daryl, thank you guys for your work. Appreciate that. We'll talk to you down the road, okay?
Thanks, Tom.